Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast, where we meet with leaders from across the procurement community to discuss innovative and strategic ideas. Because when it comes to procurement, every decision matters. Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast. I'm Alex Stonehouse, and I'm joined today by James Crenshaw. He is a contract specialist with the District of Columbia. Thanks for joining me today, James.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here, Alex.
So what we're talking about today is complex software and software service procurements. You have a really strong background in this space. Can you talk to us a little bit about what makes software purchases so hard and why they're so critical?
Thank you, Alex. First thing I would say is the reason I would say that they are called hard is because of how critical they are. Any procurement is going to be challenging if the work that's needed to be done to make it a successful procurement isn't put forth first. And I say that any successful IT procurement particularly starts with a strong IT department. And so I've been fortunate to work with great IT departments at the city of Atlanta and now with Washington, D.C. And so what helps those procurements flow and what makes those procurements work is having a great relationship with your IT department, really going to work when that need is established, because you have to determine what type of contract you're going to use. You're going to have to do your market research and things of that nature. And we talked about how hard the procurement is and why it's critical. And one of the main reasons it's critical, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, I'm sure, is we know that often government systems are often under attack. And so it's very important that we put software and systems in place that protects our cyber infrastructure within governments. And so that's why it's important to really vet who you're working with. That's why these procurements often take longer than others, because we're really vetting, trying to make sure we put in the right contractor to provide the right service in place at the right time.
And some of the other work that I've seen you do and talk about, you've mentioned these four key elements of complex software procurements. Do you want to maybe jump in the first one, which is partnering with program office as early as possible?
Right. So partnering with the program office, we say no matter where you're doing procurement at, the work starts, the acquisition starts when the need is established. So when you're talking about partnering with the program office, as soon as the program office is aware that they need a particular service or a particular hardware, we start working with their market research. One of the first things we want to determine is this something that can be accomplished with a smaller local business? Can it be accomplished and complete with an entity within the district or within the city that you're working in? We're focusing on that. We're also focusing on the life cycle of this software or this hardware, making sure that we're trying to procure this software at a time when it's best to be procured. Is this software going to need to be upgraded 6 months after we receive it, or is this service going to change? So that's why we like to get ahead of it, so we can do the proper market research.
And when you're looking at that and trying to determine the scope of that part of the process, you're just looking at the pure need of things, of what the ideal solution would be, almost regardless of what the cost of it is, and then figuring that part out later? Or is figuring out what your budget is, what the cost is, part of that from the beginning?
As it relates to the procurement department in itself, we don't determine the cost. So that's going to be on the program office. So the program office works within a specific budget for a fiscal year, and they do all of their acquisition planning based on that budget that they have for that specific year. Working with the program office, I know that, of course, as we do evaluate cost, cost is important, things of that nature. The most important thing, however, is the software, because everything that we do is for our taxpaying citizens. So the most important thing is that we're putting the proper software or hardware or utilizing the proper services that's going to be most beneficial to our department, in turn to our taxpaying citizens.
And that seems to flow pretty smoothly into the second key element that you mentioned, which is the building the strategic scope. How detailed do you guys try to get when you're looking at that?
I'm fortunate to have worked with the great IT departments to where they put those scopes together. And I know we're talking about having that trust in them. So yes, they get down into their specific need. The goal is to be able to write a scope in a way that potential bidders or offerers can understand the specifics of what we need and will be able to respond in a way that's clear and that's able to provide the need, the service or hardware that we're looking for. So absolutely, we always encourage as specific as possible, short of telling them how to do it. So we don't want to tell you how to put your proposal together. We don't want to tell you what to offer, because we often enjoy seeing forward thinking, new ideas, but we want our scopes and statements. We want our scopes to be as clear and specific as possible so that we can in turn have the most competition possible and see the most potential solutions.
Do you ever have situations where you feel like the initial conversation you're having is almost too vague or something like that, and you need to come back and get in more detail with that group? They say, we want this same type of technology we have now, but we need it to be faster and we need it to be more secure. And then like you have to come back and say, well, there's 100 ways we could go about that. Let's nail down how to do that better.
Right. That's very common. One thing that I was always taught, and one thing that I'm constantly reminded though, is I'm not the IT professional. So when I'm presented with a scope of service, I do my due diligence to read that scope of service and make sure that I understand the need. And then I go out, and as a contract specialist and contracting officers, then it's on us to go out and look at similar services that may have been provided before, look at similar scopes, look at, have the conversation with the program department. Are you sure this is how long you need this? Do you need to be able to upgrade this? How often? What's the response time that's needed if it's a service? How user-friendly does this software need to be? Is this an off-shelf item? Are you telling me that we can go and get these specifics off-shelf? So those are the conversations that we often have. It's particularly if someone's coming with a brand name or similar, then we really have to dig into the specifics of what they're looking for.
And that flows nicely into this third key element as well, which is the period of performance idea. And this one's really fascinating and interesting to me based on how I've seen you talk about it before, because so much of it depends on what the government needs and what you're trying to accomplish, but also just the rate that technology is developing in the world in general and compatibility and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's other types of procurement and other types. Like you could create, for example, you could create a policy that says every car for the police station, after 7 years, we retire the car. Mm-hmm. No matter what shape it's in, we put it to auction and sell it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a clear thing of like, we don't want to have any police cars that are over 7 years old. Right. It's a matter of policy. It's super easy to make that determination. That, I'm assuming, given the hundreds of different types of software and technology that a government may use, is not universal from one to another. How do you go about trying to do that predicting of the future and assessing, like, is this something that might be relevant now but could be dead in 6 months, or this is something that's relevant now and will last us 5 years?
Well, great question. And this is why the period of performance is so important. And one thing, I'm thankful that the government actually protects us a little bit in that, because mm-hmm. unless approved by council, our contracts are for a 1 year period of time with the option to renew every year. So we're going to start off with that base year, and we're going to see how everything works out over that base year with the option of a year to renew. Most times we would renew. A lot of times we don't if the service mm-hmm. isn't provided as needed. And so we're protected in that case. Now, specifically, how do we protect ourselves in the case of we're going to be renewing and we're going to have this contract with this technology? There's language that you add to the contract in the solicitations to let the offers know upfront our expectations. And specifically, we include requirements. It'll read things such as the contract will allow us to add, remove, increase, or decrease items as needed. We'll say you should allow us to protect us from aging equipment or services, particularly with subscription services and things of that nature. So we protect ourselves in the contract with language that says, as needed, as software upgrades come into play, we should be able to upgrade with the software. The basic rule of thumb is we should have the same offerings as the general public would have with a service. When you get your iPhone, it's going to, or your Android, when that service comes through, the upgrade to 2.2, 2.3, They just send you a message and you hit a button and it can upgrade. We have those same expectations. We want it to be user-friendly, and we need the ability to upgrade as technology changes.
Well, you mentioned that, I mean, I'm assuming that most of you guys are doing a lot of research, thinking through all the stuff, doing your due diligence, reading reviews, making sure that the suppliers you're choosing at the time you're choosing them are the best option for the city, for the government. When it is one of those contracts that just doesn't work out, you don't want to renew it after the year, do you find that that's typically something where it's like they just straight up didn't deliver what they said they would deliver in the contract? Is it bad customer service? Is it just maybe an adoption issue on people just didn't use it on the government side, the way, like, it didn't become as important as you thought it was going to be? Or is it kind of a hodgepodge of everything?
With IT specifically, thankfully, it's been rare that I've had to terminate a contract. But the reasons are all of the above, but specifically service. Service is important. Responsiveness is important. Your system, hardware, or service that you propose being able to do what you said it can do and will do is important. And those are things that we evaluate. And to our credit and to our IT department's credit, they evaluate proposals very seriously and very thoroughly. And so things that we do to protect ourselves from that is we look at your technical expertise. We actually read through that and your methods of implementing that technology. We look at your forward thinking. We read through all of these things in your proposal. And not only that, we look at your past performance evaluations and we find out, were you able to accomplish this thing that we're asking for before? And what do your past customers say about that? So it's rare that we have to terminate for cause or convenience in some cases. And that's to the credit of how thoroughly our scopes are written and with how thorough we evaluate the proposals.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me how many critical pieces of our infrastructure or things that like really would impact somebody's day-to-day life are relying on these technologies. Even something as simple as, I know DC has a program where if you're not able to get to public transportation, you can just request to be picked up and they'll help you either get to a place or to take you to where you need to go. If you have a disability or something like that, they'll help you get around as a resident of DC. And that's all part of some relatively automated system. I think if you sign up, you get assigned a driver, they tell you when it's coming, and it's all just, you're getting the emails, you're getting all that stuff. And I'm like, if that breaks down, someone's sitting there waiting for a car that never shows up. That kind of stuff is so important. As somebody who lives in DC, it's nice and reassuring to hear the process you're going through to make these decisions.
Absolutely. And you make a good point. There's a term called modular contracting, and it basically just means successive contracts for large computer systems or computer systems. And so when you talk about things like that, you're talking about one of the newest technologies that's been added over the past 10, 20 years is apps and things of that nature. Not only does your technology, does the contractor's technology need to work with our system, it needs to be able to work with applications and smartphones. It needs to be able to be available in smart stores and things of that nature, and to be able to be added to smart devices. And so all of that interchange of technology, all of that speaks to each other. And it's important that when you're doing those like type of things, just like you said, you're the taxpaying citizen. We're trying to make sure that these things work for you. And so that's part of the reason why I really enjoy what I do. I don't create the apps, but I get to be on the ground floor and see the impact of it.
The fourth key element of the complex software procurement is demos and customer interviews. Can you just talk a little bit about like what those demos are like and how important that is?
Majority of the procurements that I procure are services. And so oftentimes demos don't come into play. But when we're talking about specific demos of software and things of that nature, we often see those demos in my experience at your conferences. So when you're talking about your national procurement conferences and things of that nature, what we often do is we see the newest technologies and you're thinking about, okay, let me see what this does. Let me talk to the people. Is this something that would be beneficial to our particular municipality down the road? And so we often would just encourage those individuals to make sure they're signed up within our system and able to submit on bids and proposals, encourage them to have ticklers so that they can submit and things of that nature. But when you're talking about how we score our proposals as it relates to the software and the demos, the things that we talked about already, how user-friendly is your software? So when our IT department implements your new software, how user-friendly is it? How easy is it to upgrade? Are we going to have a hard time trying to upgrade this service? Will we have any issues with that? What is your responsiveness like? So when we talk about demos, oftentimes that comes in the form of customer interviews. And so we're doing oral presentations and reviews. So asking the real questions about their software. What is the number one complaint with your software? Let's talk about it. Things of that nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, especially for the services portion of it, mm-hmm. had that proven track record and people who really will vouch for the service itself, but also just the ability and accessibility of that company seems huge. There's so many things on the software side where it feels like if it's broken for an hour, it's an emergency. If it's broken for 6 hours, it's a catastrophe. To not be able to get somebody on the phone from that company during that period
absolutely
is a nightmare. So absolutely. I feel like so much is customer service.
Absolutely, especially when you're talking about cybersecurity. I mean, literally, you could just Google any city in this country, and I'm sure they've had an attack, and you just, mm-hmm. we see what's going on in the world now with attacks on cybersecurity and things of that nature. That's the way, unfortunately, terrorism looks as well today, too. So you have to, we always working to protect our systems, because if it hits our systems, it's ultimately going to hit our citizens, and we don't want that.
We usually like to wrap on one final question, and that is there anyone who's helped you get to where you are in your career that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Thank you for giving me a heads up on this, because there's so many people that come to mind, but there's a core four, and I'll go fast with this. And personally, first, it's just always my wife. She's just my motivation and my support, and I see her work hard at home and professionally. So definitely her, and then my mother. I watched her work hard and accomplish many things professionally, certifications and degrees and things of that nature. And she always taught me there was no excuse for not working hard. And so I wouldn't be here without her. Professionally, Adam Smith, he brought me into procurement. He was my first chief procurement officer. He showed me procurement. And so I'm thankful to him. And Jalal Slade, who was one of my directors, who taught me really the importance of having a solution, or trying to have a solution and answer, and being aggressive with your goals. And so I'm thankful for those people, and thankful for you guys. This has been a great time today, Alex.
Hey, thank you so much. That was a beautiful and a wonderful answer. I know our audience is really in love with this one.
Thanks so much, Alex. Well, yeah, baby.
Thanks for listening to Decisions That Matter. This podcast is brought to you by Procurated, the leading supplier evaluation tool for procurement professionals across the U.S. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen. See you again next time.